for plebs by plebs, dropping the Bitcoin only signal. Pleb Underground. Welcome everyone to the Pleb Underground.
Welcome back to Pleb Underground. This is episode 57. Average life, cogging the machine, earning. You're a simple machine, not learning. Your life is a mid-journey till you're stretched out on a gurney. See your life flash DMT, but I can't wait for CMT. Build for real or be MT. Feel a mile high, be an MT. Wear represent, not a BMT. Chamber of Secrets, slither in. Her, my one girl. Fingers command, tap in, prompts, toes just curl. She's enchanting Diagon Alley, she comes to get the wand. I've lost track of the latest tally, can you tell that I'm quite fond? She's the furthest from basic, lace her up like an ASIC. Got her humming, she mine, TikTok, next knock, 69. Represent, wear the black outfit. Gotta go hard till you black out fit. Nice in day one garms, split twice in bay buns, charms. With a smile and a wink, Amazonian woman over the sink. Bitcoin 8 for the moist, no humid. People want a self-hoist, no, lurid, cheap choice, get wrecked, shills don't deserve respect, each new cycle, same old grifters, drain liquidity just like sifters, Justin Sunblock, called Ahmed for the next rock, shitcoin games or pump and dump, great full theory, bigger chump, bad posture, bigger slump, DCA or some lump. A new signing device, this time from Block, don't know the price but it looks like a rock, will it sink or swim, let the market decide, say praise to him, build a life, take a bride. Before a show, you don't say good luck, you say break a leg, like your tibia. Another pleb who doesn't give a fuck. This time, my brother from Namibia.
Short but sweet. Absolutely awesome as always, Walton. And guys, in case you didn't get it, joining us today, we've got fellow Bitcoiner, and actually maybe the loudest Bitcoiner in Namibia. We've got Oaken joining us. Oaken, thank you very much for joining us on the Pleb Underground. It is absolutely awesome to have you on the show, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to this one. I've been looking forward to it.
Sweet, sweet. Very cool. All right. We're gonna move it on over to the numbers.
Yeah, the numbers, of course, brought to us by Time Chain Stats and Time Chain Calendar. Phil, what do the numbers look like this week?
At the time of this recording, the block height is 810,927. The Bitcoin fiat exchange, 27,961.76. And we've got total public lightning capacity, 4,488.5. Moscow time, 3576. And the fastest fee, 23 sats per V-byte. And guys, always, we've got our chain rewrite days, 721. Boom.
One thing we have seen with lower on-chain fees is big lightning operators deal with a lot of channel opens and closes, especially putting on new liquidity. There's been hundreds of new Bitcoin added to the Lightning Network by major operators, especially in these low fee conditions. And I think there's a good question to be asked as to whether lightning node runners, especially these big routing nodes, other people who make large payments on the Lightning Network, these people who hence open and less so closed, but open large channels will be a buyer of last resort for block space and hence a kind of lower pressure for the fees.
I really like, I'm really enjoying what is happening on Lightning. I've seen some commentary, right, from the haters, right, the Lightning haters that sit there and talk about how, Lightning is a failure. But in all honesty, when we zoom out and we take a look at the people, whether we like them or not, right, whether we think these people are spooks or not, I'm obviously talking about is it Dave Marcus, the ex-Facebook guy there that was also part of the PayPal mafia that's, doing that company that's developing on Lightning. Anyways, the point is that whether we like
Lightspeed or something like that, is it?
Is it? I don't even remember.
I don't know. But it's some corporate Bitcoin bullshit, right?
Yeah, Phil? Exactly.
Like, it's a high profit margin, like, you know, for fiat established business.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, right, these guys, they see an opportunity, right? Whether we agree with them or not, they see an opportunity on Lightning. And I actually think that Lightning is going to end up surprising a lot of people, you know, much more than we think right now, you know. And I'm kind of disappointed in myself to a certain extent, because I had a Lightning node way back in 2018. At one point, I had over 36 channels and, like, I think it was, what, 1.something BTC on it.
Phil, what are you doing? Stop saying numbers like that.
I know, I don't care. It doesn't exist anymore. Bitcoin. It makes no difference. It makes no difference. It's all gone. It doesn't matter. It doesn't exist, Walton. So who cares? And that, dude, you know something? Like, I didn't stick to learning and continuing, you know, my knowledge. And as a result, I fell behind very, very quickly. And that's too bad, you know, because now you see.
Yeah, at one point I did have like a top 40 or 50 like Lightning node ranked globally by like terminal.lightning.engineering, you know, the Lightning Labs interface. But like now I'm like well into the hundreds, or like I've been in the thousands because like my node's off for like a month or 2 weeks or something. But like, I don't know, it's not the hardest thing to do. Like, you just need to pay some attention. But it's not like if you paid, I don't know, half an hour a month is pretty all you need. Like, what's that? A minute a day is pretty all, like, really what you need. Just to kind of have it running if you want to be able to deal with your own payments and, you know, not if you really want to run, like, a full-time, you know...
I have one channel.
Routing node, right?
That does
one
nothing.
One channel, yeah, okay. I mean, like, if all you right, want, like, okay, have, like, 15, like, you don't, like, you know... Route okay, the odd you... payment, but it means you can make payments when you need to. And you can accept payments when you need to.
Absolutely. Okay. What are your thoughts on this? Do you run your own node, and do you have a Lightning node and all that good stuff?
I do. I actually used to have a channel with Walton. My first node that I had up, I mean, that was the King node. And then I had to shut it down. I had to get off of the hardware, move to better hardware. Now I run like 3 nodes.
Nice.
On one. Because the cool thing was, I run a Start 9, which is like my main operating system. And on my Start 9, I have both an LND node and I have a CL node. So, like, yeah, both of them are separate
core
nodes.
Lightning. Yeah, yeah.
Correct. Core Lightning, that's what it's called. Yeah. And then those two, literally, I have a channel for them between each other. And then they just connect out as well. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of channels now. I think I have like 4 on the one and 3 on the other. But I still have to get down, sit down and open some new channels. But it's, yeah, Walton will probably be one of the first people I open up to again.
I should open I've said this like 10 times already, that I should open a channel with Walton. And I never actually see again.
Phil says it like almost every other week.
It's laziness.
To be
it's terrible. It's terrible. Like, it's like, and honestly, it's like a 2-minute process.
Phil's just a Bitcoin boomer and he can't deal with Lightning. That, yeah, that's what it is. Like, pretty much. Like,
he's just Bitcoin CLI.
No, it's just you're a boomer.
I just like main chain. Main chain is all that matters. Oh gosh, that's brutal.
Main
look,
chain,
I'm sorry.
In my vein. Like, you're a junkie, man.
You were talking about Start 9. I also have a Start 9 as well. I run a Start 9 as one of my nodes. Do you use any of the other features like the Bitwarden and also the file manager? I mean, I got to admit, Start 9 has a cool product.
They do. What I like about them is that, like, most of basically everything is containerized. So, like, everything's like a bit separate, and then some of them connect. But, like, yeah, I run Vault Warden, which is the one that Bitwarden connects to, which is on Start 9. I actually, their new free GPT, love it. Cause I was always saying people are gonna all have their own Jarvis with this AI thing. And that's what's happening now. It's on your damn server that's running at your house. So, yeah, things like that. I enjoy it. I also run them inside VMs. So I have like 3 different Start 9 servers. 2 of them are running in Proxmox virtual machines, and the other one's an actual physical device.
All right, so you heard it from Oaken. If you need technical support on running your nodes within VM, no, I'm kidding, because you know how it goes, right? Did you read the manual? Well, you're the expert. Oh, you set it up? You're the expert. But okay, switching gears, because you mentioned something about containers. We're going to take a look at a set of numbers for a container that really matters to us all, All right, we've got this tweet from Rip Van Winkle at Daniel Ripple, and this is about housing prices in Bitcoin. And let's take a look at this. The median price of a new home is ripping in fiat terms and absolutely collapsing in Bitcoin terms. The data below comes from the U.S. Census Bureau and the National Association of Realtors. In 2012, the median price of a new home was $236,000 in dollar terms, or 29,500 BTC. By 2016, 4 years later, the price of a median home in the U.S. had risen to $313,000 in dollar terms, but had fallen to 938 BTC. In 2020, the median price of a new home rose to $331. But only costs 50.
Phil, I like the post, but like they are cherry picking a bit, right? Like if you take out 2021, when actually a house price probably would have been like 10 Bitcoin or like 5 Bitcoin, I don't know. Like yeah, okay, it is going down overall, right? Like I think
it is going down overall.
Obviously,
exactly.
The point is long term Bitcoin seems to be a good way to store or increase your value. But, from, last 2 years, right, you probably, I mean, it depends, right, if you DCA or if you lump sum, right, like.
Again, it goes back to what you said. It's about taking the long view, you know? So I got to ask you, Oaken, in Namibia, what is the, what is the average home size? What is the average home price? Like, I know nothing, so.
Yeah, so what I generally tend to do is I don't use homes to display this. I use the cost of fuel for the same month every year, and then I just say, look at it in fiat terms and look at it going up. It's crazy. Even right now, it went up twice in the last month. I drive a freaking V6, 4 liter. It's killing me. Okay, so I'm like, I literally have it on one of my so I give out these brochures. These Bitcoin for local businesses brochures, and then I edited it. So I literally have as the last column, the fuel prices from, I think, 2019 all the way till 2023, which I took from our national, the fuel regulators and stuff, took it directly from their website, and I put it down. Then I put the Bitcoin prices of those same things in those months, and then I can show people, look, right there, you can see it in fuel, like the thing that touches all of us. Because the thing that happens is not everybody has a house. Right, a lot of people are renting or staying with family, and with Namibia, we're so sparsely populated. I mean, we're doing our census right now, but our last census got us at 2.5 million people. But if you look at the size of the country, we're the second least populated, the least density, right? With people being populated on per square meter, we're the second in the world. The one that wins is Inner Mongolia. And they've got way less space than us. You know what I mean? So here you've got people in villages and what. So it's not really housing prices that touches everybody. But if you have to even take a cab, right, and the fuel price has gone up, cab prices rise, food prices rise, everything rises. So it's just a better metric, I find, in Namibia and most of Africa to speak about Bitcoin price versus fiat price for something.
I like that, though. And I appreciate that point, because it also kind of points out for me, right, like, I made the assumption, right, that that's how you would look at it that way. And that, see, that's a perfect example of ethnocentricity, right? Where you just assume that everything is the same everywhere else.
So. Surely the problem with looking at gas prices or like petrol prices, whatever it is, like the fuel prices, the supply is international. And so I'm not sure it's the best comparison, because with housing, there's a lot of national regulations that determine the supply rather than kind of international markets and regulations. So I'm not sure it's necessarily the best way of looking at it. But one thing I noticed is that, for example, in the United States, fuel prices are roughly half what they are in the UK. But people in the United States drive vehicles that get less than half the number of miles to the gallon. And so actually they're paying more per mile.
Yeah. Because they're moving further.
I don't know. There's, and so food's actually a lot more in the United States than in the UK. Like, there's just weird, like, differences in different countries, like, based on, you know, what your international trade agreements are. You get very, very different things for certain commodities. So, yeah, I don't know. But so maybe look perfect... at Big Macs. What's the price of a Big Mac in Namibia?
There's no McDonald's in Namibia. No McDonald's in Namibia.
You eat them all already, Oaken. What happened?
You're so lucky.
No, they never came here. The demographics aren't enough. 2.5 million people. The numbers just aren't there.
Okay, talk to me about burger prices. Talk to me about the price of meat in Namibia.
Oh, no, that's too expensive. Okay, let's go KFC. Right?
Okay, fine.
KFC, we all have KFC. Every country in the world has KFC. So, like,
damn young brands. Let's say,
like, a bucket of KFC would be almost $215 Namibian dollars. That's like $11 US. For a bucket of KFC.
I don't know. I don't eat KFC anymore. I can't.
Yeah, I don't eat KFC either.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not like, it's not that I don't have McDonald's sometimes, right? But I'm just saying, yeah. It's like, you got to pick your poison. Yes.
I like that one because I don't eat KFC either. We have steaks and stuff. Let's go. So let's say you go to a restaurant, right? Meat wise, and you want to order 600 grams of ribs. Comes with fries. I'd order that a lot, but I pay it in Bitcoin. But that's about 200 and also about 11 US, 215. It's also about 260.
How much is it changing? Is the question, like, Oaken? Is it?
Oh yeah. So the price
has it doubled in the last 5 years or 10 years or when did it? Yeah. How long is it? When did it last double essentially since?
So Namibia is actually a meat producing country. We actually export to the States a lot as well, right? So, and Europe and China and everywhere, because our beef is like almost on par with Argentina, right? So they're above us. And then of course, Wagyu is always Wagyu. But so in the last 5 years, definitely about doubled. I'd say about doubled. The price was okay when I got back from China in 2019. But now looking at it, it's like if you know somebody that owns a farm, you go direct to farmer. You don't go and buy it in the store because it's going to hurt. Same thing with vegetables, same thing. But again, right, because like you have to remember Namibia is pegged to South Africa in more ways than just our currencies, right, which is one first thing. Namibian dollar is pegged to
the guest section for sure.
It's pegged to the... to that. So like that also then changes if something like, let's say fuel prices go up in South Africa, whereas Namibians, we know our fuel prices are going up in a month or two. It's inevitable because that's gone up there and we're importing fuel from them. So it becomes a whole knock-on effect. So yeah, I would say it probably food-wise, meat definitely doubled.
Well, I could tell you right now, while you were explaining that, I went to go take a look and it's about 6,000 Big Macs right now per Bitcoin. So 6,000 Big Macs, I'm pretty sure that number is going to go up. Guys, let us know what you think in the comments. What is the perfect, what is the perfect kind of like Bitcoin commodity indicator? Let us know what you think. And right now, that wraps up the numbers. And we're going to move it on over to the Fireside Chat. The Fireside Chat is brought to you by CipherSafe. Check them out at ciphersafe.io. You can't store your seed in paper. Can't trust it. You need something that's indestructible, and it needs to be made by Bitcoiners. Check out the Cypher Grid, and it comes with this awesome little punch tool at ciphersafe.io. If you appreciate fine Bitcoin art and fine craftsmanship, check out the Bitcoin Rollo Triangle made by fellow Bitcoiners. We're talking 16 ounces of solid titanium, 4x4x4 inches, a really nice piece. That is the Bitcoin Rollo Triangle at ciphersafe.io. We are diving into the Fireside Chat with fellow Bitcoiner, the loudest Bitcoiner in Namibia. Hopefully he's going to explain that story. Talking about Oaken. Oaken, thank you very much for joining us, man. Really appreciate you not only coming on the show, but giving us this, you know, this time that we can sit down and discuss, you know, the Bitcoin happenings in Namibia. And without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to my co-host Walton.
Yeah, so I've known Oaken virtually for a couple years now. And yeah, I describe him as the loudest Bitcoin from Namibia. He's the only Bitcoiner I know from Namibia, but he's definitely the loudest one. But he's a big character, a hardcore Bitcoin pleb. You know, you've already heard he runs a few nodes, and he's, I think, trying to contribute to some Bitcoin education efforts, and we're going to certainly dive into those in a little bit. But first, I want to just talk a little bit about the history of Namibia, because for my world geography is pretty damn good, but most people's world geography is pretty terrible. And so I want to just get into a little bit of geography and history. First, to just kind of set the scene about Namibia. My understanding is Namibia is a small country just north of South Africa that gained independence from South Africa only like 25 years ago or something like this. They had initially the South African rand as their currency, and then they later had the Namibian dollar, which I believe was pegged, but then the peg has changed, I'm guessing. You've had a constant peg, so essentially it's just I guess it's like a sub currency of the rand. Is that a good way of looking at it? Like, how separate is the Namibian economy from South African economy, for example? Like, can you talk a little bit about Namibia and its place in Africa and its economy and
I mean, those are actually some great things that you pointed to. Or alluded to some of them a bit off, but don't worry, I'll help you out with the numbers on those. So we gained independence from South Africa in 1990. So 33 years ago now. That's when we finally officially became an independent Namibia. It was March 21st, 1990. And before, well, we were under apartheid rule of South Africa. So South Africa had apartheid rule in South Africa, of course, in Namibia, and also imposed it on Botswana for a while, I believe. And what happened before the South African apartheid rule, because again, this came as a result of the League of Nations giving South Africa oversight of Namibia after Germany lost the World War, right? So then the League of Nations, which is now today's, what are they called? What are those people called? They don't do anything, really. They're supposed to help countries around the world. That's them. the UN now. That was the old League of Nations, right? So they gave oversight. So South Africa was supposed to help Namibia, like, you know, come forward in time because of all of the colonization that were, and during colonization, the Germans, what they did to the Jews, they did in Namibia first. That's why it's called, Namibia was the first Holocaust that Germany did, right? It's called the Kaiser's Holocaust. There's a whole book written about it, where Kaiser Wilhelm basically said, hey, we're going to now exterminate all Oshiereros and all of the Namas, right? And it's just like two different tribes. And then he basically, there was an extermination order where he said, leave the country or die. So then what people had to do was go across the desert into Botswana, and those that made it, a couple of them, they're still there. Some Namibians, from the Namibian side, some still stayed. Ones that were caught were put in concentration camps. Then they did a whole crazy thing, took skulls, like killed people, started doing this whole, are black people really human? Like, we're going to experiment. And then they like literally sculpted people, took the skulls back to Germany. We actually only started getting them back now. And it's pretty crazy history on that part. So there's a lot of like trauma and pain in the history of Namibia that's been around. Like I said, we're only 2.5 million people. Where are we situated? Like Walton alluded to, we're just above South Africa, right underneath Angola on the west, on the coast. So we're in southwestern Africa.
West side. Yeah.
Correct. So before we became Namibia officially, we were known also like South Africa as a direction. We were Southwest Africa. That was what Namibia was called before independence, right? And then as far as the currencies go, this is the funny part. So I'm always like, listen, let's just get Bitcoin because we already understand having two currencies. So when we gained independence from South Africa, we didn't give up the currency, right? Like Walton said, we still, till today, you can pay for things with South African rand. It's legal tender, right? But at the same time, if you go to South Africa with Namibian dollars, you're not going to get that one-to-one pegging that we have, Right. So if, in Namibia, one rand is the same as one Namibian dollar. You can pay for things interchangeably. But in South Africa, if you try to pay for something with Namibian dollars, nobody's going to be able to pay, like, take that. And if you go to the bank...
Can you arbitrage it? Can you go to South Africa and buy Namibian dollars in South Africa and then, like, sell them in...
You no, I mean? No, no, no. You can't. No. You can't go across borders with that money.
So they won't accept your currency, but it's pegged 1-to-1 in your country. Correct.
Yes, and if you go try and change the currency in your bank, they won't give you 1 rand for $1. They're gonna give you like they never give you the full amount. So it's not even pegged for them. They're like, what? We didn't even know that happened. So for me, that's the first problem. So like.
There is an arbitrage. I imagine the politicians are making it. So they say it's 1-to-1, and I'm sure. There's someone somewhere is taking a cut,
and that's why there's a difference
between the official rate and the kind of real rate. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So then also, whatever happens with the economy will affect our economy as well, right? Because again, the pegging, we can't lose that pegging of that 1-to-1. So think of it like this. The Namibian dollar is basically a stable coin that's pegged to the South African rand. It's crazy. But that also brings me to my next point. Like, because we grew up with two currencies, right? What is so difficult to add Bitcoin as a third? In my opinion, it's not a far stretch because
you're like one Namibian dollar equals 1 rand, one Bitcoin equals one Bitcoin. Same thing.
There we go. So it's just about explaining to people a bit more on that type of a spectrum. But then, so like Namibia itself, even though we're a very small country, we have a ridiculous amount of resources from gold to diamonds to copper to zinc to titanium. No, not titanium. There's another one, I can't remember what it was, to oil, which they keep finding now, like all the time, to uranium, to, of course, we've got, you know, the big five. So
pretty
when
rich
you think
in
about
natural resources, essentially.
Fully rich in that. And then also when you look at the animal aspect, like people always come to Namibia for safari. Why? Because we have all of the big five. Like if you think about the five big animals that people want to see on safari, Namibia has them all. We also have the biggest cheetah population in the world. So, like, there's a lot of different things that Namibia has. And people are like, wait a minute. How are you guys only so few people?
So, you're
like,
talking about you guys got a lot of cheetahs, but have you got a lot of honest people? Have you got a lot of Bitcoiners? That's what I want to know about. Like, talk to me about the current state of Bitcoin in Namibia. Like, I know you go to some bar every week and you buy their burger or their ribs and their beers and you give them all your Bitcoin. But, like, where else is taking Bitcoin? Where else is teaching about Bitcoin? What's going on in Namibia right now? With Bitcoin, is there any Bitcoin education for the youths? Is there any Bitcoin coding camps? What's going on?
So yeah, that would be great if all of that was there, but Namibia moves at a snail's pace with everything technological. So even just having the conversations, that's why I literally, there's two spots, right? Two bars that I take. If I have a meeting, let's have a meeting at that bar, right? Even if it's not about Bitcoin. Because at the end of the meeting, I'm going to pay for our drinks in Bitcoin or whatever food in Bitcoin. When I'm at the bar, people are like, hey, there goes Mr. Bitcoin. Like, you know, and that's where the loudest Bitcoiner from Namibia also comes from is, firstly, I'm a loud person just by default, right?
Do you think
and then I'm always talking
like,
about Bitcoin.
Wise? Sorry, just a little tangent. But like, do you think there's dangers to being known as Mr. Bitcoin? Because I try and avoid that locally.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the thing was that I had to decide was, do I want Namibians to start adopting Bitcoin or do I want them to fall into the shit coinery and be like, no, but Ethereum's the best because no, everybody's on Ethereum and I can do this with my NFT. And like, so my thing was, okay, I can either go stand on the, you know, in front of the firing line and say, yo guys, I'm here. Let's talk about Bitcoin. You want to argue about it? Let's argue about it. You want to tell me it's a scam? Let me tell you why it's not a scam. Let's have the convo. So that Namibians can be like, wait a minute, if he's not scared about Bitcoin and the government's not banning it, so maybe there's something to this Bitcoin thing. Let's actually look at what is the education that this guy is having events where he's teaching people how to accept Bitcoin and how to earn Bitcoin. Maybe we should go to some of them. Maybe it's not a scam like the other things that we were giving people money and they were telling us they were going to buy our Bitcoin for us. So there was also the scammers, like, you know, anywhere else in the world. And they kind of did a disservice to Bitcoin, because whenever I talk to people, they're like, yeah, you know, my mother put money in CBI or whatever, and they lost the money. And I'm like, yo, Bitcoin had nothing to do with that, right? So that's the first thing. So even though I don't like the name Mr. Bitcoin, I'll gladly take it if people are going to take the information seriously, right? Because that's why I'm here at the end of the day. I can't, because I can really see Namibia being on like the next El Salvador. Firstly, we got all these animals and shit that people can come see. And if you could do all that in Bitcoin, like, why not? Like, all of the things that you're able to do in Namibia. Firstly, the reason that Europeans and Americans come here all the time is our currency is dirt shit compared to yours. Like, you could be not even a well-off person and still enjoy a full year out here, okay? Secondly, the amount of things you can do from, like, we even have nomad visas where you can come stay here for 6 months, up to 6 months, and just work from here as a digital nomad. Doing other things, like, so.
Namibia, how safe is it, Oaken? Is it?
That sounds quite very, nice. Thinking about it.
Very, very safe. So, of course, like any country, you have crime, right? But if you look at the crime rates of African countries, Namibia has literally got one of the lowest crime rates. We're one of the most peaceful countries. We don't have like a shitload of riots and stuff like that. Press freedom is one of the highest in the whole continent. So yeah, no, Namibia is one of those countries where right now, a lot of foreign people are looking, again, because of the green hydrogen thing that everybody's trying to pump. So everybody's looking at Namibia. Oh, you got oil?
You
got
green hydrogen, in Namibia right now, you guys are seeing like actual growth because you've got a bunch of natural resources. I'm guessing a relatively young population, like growing numbers of workers. Talk to
us about... We have very high unemployment. Very high unemployment. Youth unemployment
high
is...
unemployment, you say?
Very high unemployment.
Why is that? Why are there no jobs in Namibia right now?
Like, this is what nobody can figure out, right? So basically, yeah, COVID firstly did a number. Most of the businesses that were standing like since the 60s all shut down. Like, they couldn't. There was just no way to continue. So all of those businesses... No. I mean, because when COVID came, right, we had to lock down. We were on lockdown. People couldn't leave their houses. Except for like certain times to go buy food and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So if you weren't like a doctor or a nurse or something, you weren't seen as essential services.
Yeah.
And then you just had to stay home. So a lot of people lost, like, because again, banks didn't care. You still had to pay the banks your loan amounts. They did not care that you had what going on with COVID, dude. They needed their money. So people had to close up shop, or their employees went without work. And then when COVID ended, still no work. The people are still there, like people with degrees, people with experience, but there's no work for them. So now everybody's looking at government, and government's like, bro, you guys are going to have to create your own jobs and employ each other and what. And people are like, no, fuck that. That don't make no sense. Literally, there was a job application, right, for bartenders. There was like three spots. 3,000 people showed up. 3,000 people, all with CVs in hand.
Wow.
There were only three positions. That's like, and that's only the capital. If you're looking at outside the capital, it's even worse. So for me, a thing is, okay, Bitcoin that people earn off of playing games, for people in Europe and America, you know, that's not real money.
Thunder games, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, those type of things. Even writing Apollo Sats reviews, that's not real money to you guys, right? It's like cents on the dollar. But in Namibian terms, like with me, the games I play and things, I buy my mobile airtime every week with that. That's like $50. So yeah, that $50 can buy three loaves of bread and milk and like, so we can feed somebody this side of the world.
What's the kind of average monthly, I don't know, like kind of living costs, would you say, for maybe not, like, I don't know, what sort of living costs do you think to kind of live pretty comfortably in Namibia?
Comfortably?
I don't know. Like, how do we define these things? These things are kind of difficult to compare, right?
Yeah,
like,
comfortably is going to be different for each individual.
Let's just say
the average amenities, right? The internet, right? Like, you've got,
right,
I don't know,
having,
if the
internet,
homes there come with air conditioning,
water,
or, you know,
like,
yeah,
you know, like, clean,
okay,
you know,
so like
utilities,
yeah, what would,
nice
what would
neighborhood,
you need?
Like low crime.
Like, you can go outside at night, you know, and like not get robbed.
No, that you can do anyway. You can walk most places in Namibia.
Oh, okay.
But let me see. Like, you would need, I'd say, you need to earn roughly. No. Yeah, you need to earn roughly $1,500
a month.
Like, to, okay. Yeah, a month. So, like, oh, remember, yeah, rent wise.
That's like Eastern Europe, basically. Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, like, interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, maybe even a bit more.
Again, it depends on the person.
General middle class, yeah. You won't be manager level, but you'll be all right. You'll be okay. You're not like, you know, the bottom of the barrel.
Okay, so these people that are in Namibia and they're wanting to, I'm guessing that they're dealing with inflation, right? They're wanting to do something about it. And Mr. Bitcoin, Okin, is telling them about Bitcoin. And they ask, yeah, but what about government regulation? What do you tell them about government regulation of Bitcoin in Namibia? Is there any, like, do the government know about Bitcoin? Talk to us about regulation.
They should know more, but so in Namibia, they don't call them cryptos here. They call them virtual assets. So I sat in on a couple of the public consultations with the Central Bank of Namibia. They know what they want to know. Like, you know, like any central bank, they know what they want to know. But there is regulation. There's a virtual, last month, I don't know, end of July, they released a virtual assets service, no, the Virtual Assets Act. And basically with it, they also did the initial coin offering act. So basically they're focused on regulating things like exchanges trying to come into the country, like a Binance or somebody like that, you know, and things like that. But also they're doing a bit of over-regulation. That said, they do see Bitcoin and other virtual assets as separate. Even when you read like the directives and like they have these circular notes and stuff that go along with the act. They literally say Bitcoin in this sentence, and then they'll talk about virtual assets. So they do see them as different in the sense of Bitcoin actually being decentralized, and they know that they can't stop it.
But right? Like in terms of like taxes or like can people spend it? Like you can just does it work?
Yeah. So yeah, basically,
the final question I have before we got to move on to the other sections is like what's been done for the youth in Namibia about Bitcoin? I know you're like orange pilling, you know, the businesses where you like to eat and drink, but like what's happening for the youth in Namibia? Yeah. How's Mr. Bitcoin helping the kids?
So what we're doing is, one of the reasons we did it at the bars was because that's where people like to argue. They're confrontational, and it's, for me, I believe if you know what you're talking about, bring on the confrontation and let's have the conversation, right? So now what's happening is because
we met on Clubhouse or Spaces, which is just like being exactly. like at a Bitcoin bar, right? Essentially.
Exactly. So like the thing that happened was a lot of these people are youth and they do things like they throw comedy shows. Now these comedy shows accept Bitcoin for ticket prices. So they're starting to talk to each other. And that was always my goal was I can't be everywhere. But what can happen is if the people are hearing the conversation and then they carry that information on to their conversation partners, business owners start orange pulling, business owners, things like that. What I'm also doing is I'm in talks with two universities right now to start, like, I want to do the Me Premier Bitcoin course at the one. And then at the other one, I'm also trying to see if I can bring in some of the Sailor Academy courses, like the Bitcoin for Everybody, Bitcoin for Developers, because that will give people a real understanding of where can I go further for more education to become a Bitcoin developer, like maybe a Bitcoin core developer, like what is it that I need to go forward with. So that's what we're trying to do, is literally start it at educational institutions where we can say, hey, because I mean, I have lectured as guest lecturer at like one or two, but I'm trying to get a more like, let's do a course. Let's give people a certificate with it. And that's why I was looking at the Me Premier Bitcoin, because it's a very, I've gone through the book now, almost 80% of it. And like the coursework is really well done. They've got QR codes to take you to like, you know, a whole video that will explain it better for you if that's the way and you don't really do well with reading. So like they've got a whole lot of things and resources that they've already, so there's no reason to recreate the wheel. Just use the wheel that's there better. And then that's what we're trying to do. So we are trying to get into more schools. We're trying to do more talks. End of next month, November. Yeah, beginning of November-ish. I'm trying to do a media event to actually orange pull the media and give them what I call these self-sovereignty Bitcoin packs, which will have things like Bitcoin in 21 pages. It's booklet. The simplest Bitcoin book ever written. There's also a Bitcoin for Businesses, which is more visual. And then, of course, you know, seed cards and things like that, that they could actually get familiar with what Bitcoin is instead of the lies that they keep regurgitating. And then from there, we can move. That's what we're doing.
Very nice. Exciting. Yeah, very, very nice. Absolutely amazing. It sounds like you're doing God's work out there in Namibia, and we appreciate it, man. We appreciate the Bitcoin hustle. And guys, that does it for the Fireside Chat. We are moving on over to Wrecked. Wrecked is brought to you by CryptoCloaks. Check them out at CryptoCloaks.com. Awesome 3D prints made by fellow Bitcoiners, such as the astronaut dude, the Bitcoin astronaut dude, or this awesome little Bitcoin grenade where you can store an open dime. If you get the bigger one, you can store a larger device, like a signing device. And don't forget to use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND for 5% off on all the 3D printed goodies. That's CryptoCloaks.com. All right, everybody. This is not the main story for Wrecked, but I'm pretty sure that a lot of us have been seeing the BSV drama. For the people who don't know, we did a clip on this, which I will put a link to in the show. But essentially, ex-CEO Christian Egger Hansen has left Enchain, and apparently so has Craig Wright, and gone on to become a contractor for his own product. Anyways, we're not even going to get into all this bullshit, but the reality is that there is a ton of cope going on. And I think that the WuCoin account right here said it best, right? Rats leaving the sinking ship. And let's take a look at this. This is the fake bit, say a fake self-proclaimed Bitcoin historian, Kurt.
I do not officially represent CoinGeek. I don't work for CoinGeek. I don't get a W-2. They don't give me health insurance. I don't get any benefits. They pay me if I submit articles and if I do my show here. That is the extent of our relationship. Outside of us being friends, I really like the people that I get to work with, but I'm a contractor. So I don't ever speak directly for CoinGeek. I do not speak for Enchain. I do not speak for Bitcoin Association. I don't speak for Craig or Calvin or their PR teams or anybody else that is involved in any of this stuff. Frankly, I think a lot.
He's the chief.
He's not the most convincing politician, is he? Like, everyone knows he's like the kind of chief lieutenant of BSV.
Are you kidding me?
Like the ugliest shitcoiner in the world, and like he has a bunch of like rainbow stuff behind him, and you know. This guy's like the biggest one of the biggest BSV miners after Calvin, I believe. Like runs like one of their biggest pools. This guy's as hardcore as BSV as you get, and I'm pretty sure he's one of the main kind of spokespeople. You know, like all of these shitcoin ecosystems have the paid influencers because that's exactly like how it works. But anyway,
that's right,
Phil.
Yeah, that is exactly right, Walton. You hit the nail on the head. And I mean, look, you know, he calls himself a Bitcoin historian, but yet he essentially just makes up facts to support BSV claims all the time. And I'm pretty sure that CoinGeek wouldn't allow him to host all of his content if it wasn't so pro BSV. So I'm sorry, but like you could see it all of a sudden, right? The like you said, like the chief BSV spokesperson, all of a sudden, he doesn't really work for them. They don't really pay him. He doesn't really talk to any of the people there or really know much about the Bitcoin Association, which is just a front as well for more BSV indoctrination. Anyways, BSV is totally wrecked. They've been wrecked for years. But it seems that the wheels are completely falling off of that scam. And speaking of scams with the wheels falling off, that's right. We are going to turn our attention to Frentech, people. We're going to turn our attention to Frentech. Last week, here we go. On the 21st of August, 2023, which obviously is not last week. That was a couple months ago, okay? But this article dropped very recently. Yearn Finance developer Bantag tweeted a GitHub repository revealing the leaked X usernames connected wallet addresses of over 101,000 Frentech holders. Okay. So for the people who don't know what Frentech is, very quickly, essentially, you can buy and sell shares of influencers, so to speak, right? Like you can go and create, like I can go and create some shitcoin called Coin Icarus.
What was that exactly. Breedlove thing? BitClout? Is it just BitClout again?
Exactly. It's BitClout 2.0, but with like different sets of shillers and different
Web
people.
Web 3.0. Woo.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so just giving that background so people understand. Okay, so here we go. So there was an incident, right, where a bunch of information was leaked. And here here's how Frentech kind of papered over it. So Frentech clarified the incident on X, saying it's just someone scraping our public API that shows the association between public wallet addresses and public Twitter usernames. Now, for what people don't really know is that tied to a lot of people's Twitter usernames are also their phone numbers. Just saying. Anyways, I will continue. It's like saying someone hacked you by looking at your public Twitter feed. I don't think so. Anyways, however, many X users remained unconvinced as they pointed to the lack of documentation on Frentech's privacy policy. At the time of writing, Frentech's privacy policy said coming soon, which, yes, they have fixed since then, and they have put in a whole copy pasta of other people's privacy policies, which that's pretty much par for the course. All right, so here we go. The bottom line on Frentech, what happened? Frentech presents an exciting way to power the social media platforms with shitcoins. There's an opportunity to help artists. Not true, okay? Not true at all. We've already debunked how this doesn't help artists at all. That is just one of the tricks they get in order to get a community of supposed users. Anyways, however, we have to urge caution as Frentech is still very new and hasn't given its audience the reassurance that it's a safe dApp and not a rug pull. Okay, that was then. This is now. On October 5th, some users of the social Fi crypto platform Frentech reported on X that they were victims of a 234 ETH hack due to theft of their private keys. The heist was pulled off by a single individual who, by cloning the SIM cards of the unfortunate users of the decentralized app, managed to extract the keys of their crypto wallets on Base and managed to take away a total of $385,000. Now, keep in mind, Base is the L2 that Coinbase created, right? And I mean, that is just an... And their hands are clean on this, Walton. Their hands are totally clean, right? Doesn't matter that somebody used their layer to create some shitcoin that is now somehow getting users totally wrecked. Anyways, the friend.tech team is trying to respond with a security update given growing users' fear about possible exploit of the crypto platform's entire total value locked. The platform has attracted a lot of attention from the crypto community, given the extraordinary success it has achieved in its first few weeks of operation, even getting the nickname OnlyFans of Web3. That is so cringe, given some similarities to the business model. In this unsavory affair, the attack, the type of attack implemented by the hacker is a SIM swapping attack. This is a scam where the SIMs are cloned by illicitly obtaining the victim's phone numbers. This is not the first time that such attacks have been carried out on Frentech. Since even earlier this week, abnormal transactions were reported on some users' wallets for 109 ETH damage. Okay? So this is pretty serious. Okay, look at this. The malicious individual carried out SIM swapping via the App Store and managed to transfer the victim's data to an iPhone SE. Now, I wonder, I just kind of wonder, though, is it really a SIM swapping thing? Or does it have anything to do with that list of users that was scraped back in August? Anyways, 50 million belonging to more than 28,000 users is at risk on that platform. Okay. Frentech's recent security problems that led to the loss of nearly $500,000 to users of the SocialFi crypto platform could be just the beginning of a series of unfortunate events. If, for the sake of argument, a third of Frentech accounts have linked a phone number, there is a $20 million at risk of theft by SIM cloning. Okay. This could. Anyways, it just gets worse. This could make the entire supply of the total value locked on the project susceptible to cyber attacks. To address this risk,
I feel like SIM swaps happen all the time in the States, Phil. Like, they don't seem to happen as much here. Like,
honestly,
I don't know why.
I think a lot of people. So this is the thing, right? I think a lot of people don't protect their phone numbers. Number one, like, at least to my knowledge, with almost every carrier, you can turn on an option to lock your number. So no one can actually do anything without your approval, like your explicit
approval. Yeah, we always have this in the UK. You have to put in some code, to move it, basically. But surely the carrier always has a copy of it anyway. I don't know.
I'm not 100% sure that the carrier has a copy of it. I mean, look.
Can Bitcoin fix this?
I don't know if Bitcoin can fix this, but I'll tell you this, okay? Like the whole point of that story is this, okay? It doesn't matter if it's Coinbase that's making an L2, okay? They are not going to stop you from getting rugged. This is something I have been saying probably since 2020, okay? With shitcoins, whether you want to agree with it or not, the use case is your liquidity. The use case is the rug pull. That is the whole point. Why do you think all of these grifters moved from Bitcoin to these shitcoins as soon as they figured out how quickly they can rug pull people? In Bitcoin, you have to actually sit there and do a whole lot of work, okay? You have to put together a whole project. You have to invest a lot of time, a lot of effort. You really gotta do significant amount of work if you want to just go and grift somebody and not actually provide any value. But on Ethereum, you don't have to do shit, okay?
Some people say this. Some people say that, like, it's a red flag if a girl's, like, spent a bunch of time in Dubai. Well, these crypto influencers seem to spend a bunch of time in Dubai as well. It's all about, you know, sucking you dry and taking all your money, like, you know, scammers.
This is not, it's not friendly tech, okay? Nobody needs friend tech. Oaken, I'm not sure how familiar you are with friend tech or if this was the first time you've seen it, but what are your thoughts? You're muted, by the way.
It was the first time I heard about it, but reading that, oh my God, I couldn't stop laughing. Like the claims, I always tell people, because this is a conversation I have sometimes, and they're like, yeah, what can this do? What can Bitcoin do for artists? And I'm like, well, I was the first podcaster in the whole of Africa to be paid in Bitcoin while I was sitting at like a person's house where people are listening to my
podcast.
So, I mean, like, that is how it can help. Like, you don't need Ethereum and all this bullshit. Like, Bitcoin already does it. If you're an artist that sings or has music, go to Wavelake. While people are listening to your music there, they're streaming you Bitcoin. Like, it doesn't make sense to come up with a whole new fucking coin, okay, on another platform, like on a blockchain that you know nothing about, and you're going to be like, no, it's going to be cool. And then boom. Because I keep telling people, name the last time somebody got rug pulled in Bitcoin. Just show me how that happened in Bitcoin without them trusting somebody or a project or something. But the Bitcoin itself, nah, bro, don't lie to me. That's not how that works. Well, but all the time on Ethereum, Solana, Cardano, all that shit, it's the same story every freaking couple of weeks.
Yeah, well said. And like, clearly, you know, fuckshitcoins.com, please like and subscribe. Clearly, yeah, I think the last, unless I'm mistaken, Phil, the last person wrecked this week, I think, is Oaken with his spare chair, you know, not just in his house. He's flexing his spare chair in the background on a Bitcoin show. You know, like I'm gonna call up the chairman, friend of the show, Pierre Richard, and get him to put in a call, because Oaken is just gone, you know.
I don't think Pierre would approve of this.
I'm just for reference.
Straight to jail.
It's an old chair. I repurposed the chair from somewhere from an old office.
This isn't a shopping channel. Stop trying to sell chairs on our show, Oaken.
I need more Bitcoin.
Oh God! All right, guys.
Don't we all, Phil?
Yes. And on that note, it wraps up the wrecked segment, and we are gonna move it on over to the Hopium.
The Hopium. Up next, we have the Hopium sponsored by Represent. I say wear Represent in a black outfit. Work hard till your blackout fit. Like these guys work hard. They produce some phenomenal products. And you can check them out if you go to representltd.com. And use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND to get a discount on all the goodies. Once again, that's representltd.com. Welcome back to Hopium this week. I'm going to share a few little things, and then we're going to sit around and talk about all of them. But the things that made me hopeful this week, or maybe are trying to make other people hopeful, let's have a little look. Firstly, Phil stole my link, I'm pretty sure, like about the BSV thing. Now he says it's wrecked, right? BSV is wrecked, but I actually think this is major hopium, because actually with this all falling apart, well, what then happens is people like Craig can't run around like suing Bitcoin developers and suing Bitcoin plebs and intimidating them and like fucking with their lives. That's a really good thing. Yeah, I at least I think so. Okay, next we have a rock from Block. They claim it's a signing device, but as Gigi would say, you know, biometrics are usernames and not passwords, and so this whole like fingerprint thing, not too sure about that. Next, Rindal, who actually worked on that rock, I think, over a Block, actually did something really fucking cool. He says it's a reminder that mempool is PvP. Essentially, it's like, okay, I'm not a coder, so I'm not going to show you what the code does because I won't be able to talk you through it. But it's like people said, oh, what does it do? Like, basically, like what happened? He essentially like made it so tokens, BRC20 tokens, couldn't be minted by blocking off like names of them. And so like it, like for like a $30 or something, you can essentially prevent a BRC20 token from having a particular ticker, right? If you want to, like, it's a bit like hoarding domain names, except you just make it like unusable. So for like $30, you can basically ensure that a BRC20 token will never exist with that ticker. So I thought that was really cool. And then what else we got? What else do we have? Yeah, a couple things, a bit more kind of macro. Jeff B of Triple E Memes shared a good article on Fidelity. I'm going to put that in the link. I'm not going to talk about it too much, but you know, anytime a big asset manager, and Fidelity are perhaps the biggest asset manager when it comes to Bitcoin, or one of, like, talks positively about Bitcoin, you know, some people are going to be listening. James Lavish, friend of the show, James Lavish, mentioned that in the last 2 weeks, the US Treasury have accumulated over $500 billion of debt. $500 billion is roughly the market cap of Bitcoin. So that's an interesting number there. And that's just before a recession. And then finally, our friends of the show, Ant and TC, added like a little integration little thing for BTC Pay Server. So if you're running, you know, a website and you want to integrate BTC Pay Server, they've made it a little bit easier because there's some, you know, pretty awesome web developers, you know, really trying to push forward Bitcoin adoption. Once again, I know, you know, these guys run Time Chain Calendar and Time Chain Stats, you know, who contribute data for the show. Their sites are, you know, free. You know, Bitcoin only, and these guys once again are trying to push forward Bitcoin adoption in the way that they can. Good on.
All right, you covered a lot of hopium there. I just want to make a couple of points. First point, did not steal your story. I just used the Kurt Wucker Jr. version of it, okay, where he's crying about it. So that's why, because I looked at your link and I was like, okay, we're not going to talk about this on Rekt, but I do want to make fun of this whole Kurt thing backing out. Second of all, that Block wallet from Jack, I'm just gonna say it looks like a shitcoin. I'm sorry. Look, I don't know what it is. It's like a hexagon or an octagon or whatever shape that is. I don't know why, but that thing screams like some type of weird, ugly household appliance shitcoin thingy.
But I think maybe that's why it's a good thing.
It's like
thing.
A crappy like Alexa, it's a dude. Kind of like it's low like a key fake feel, Alexa. Right? But it's not low key. It's not. It just looks stupid. Like I get it. Like but I don't. At the same time, I think it's crappy. I also don't like the fact it has no screen. I feel like all of the hardware wallets should have screens, and you know, maybe to keep it looking inconspicuous, like you're saying, maybe they just had to have a little thing where they could slide the door. But yeah, otherwise I looked through that Fidelity article. Fidelity puts out some of the best damn hopium there really is out there. And they've been putting it out since like 2017, 2018. I mean, you know, we've been hearing, I should say, that the institutions are coming, right? For like the last 5-6 years. Fidelity is probably the only institution that's actually been creating content behind it, and actually, I believe, has actually been building the rails out behind it. And I guess,
I don't know if you know Amanda Cavalieri or something used to work there. I know she was like she tries to do some Bitcoin education stuff. I think she's, I don't know, done other ventures since. But there's certainly some kind of Bitcoiner with a little bit of kind of pleb type attitudes that have been in some of these places.
Now, Oaken, I know that we have a hard stop with you. So what are your thoughts on all the hopium that Walton just shared?
Oh no, I still have time. Don't worry. I actually told them to move. But yeah, look. Firstly, whenever BSBers and shit, I'm happy. So that was always great for me. But I do believe like yeah, some of the hopium stuff that Walton was going through there, I think is great. Like I agree with the Fidelity thing. Like they are the only ones that are really creating content that seems really well researched. Like it's not just to write it or put out the content to put it out, but it's to actually, you know, inform people to a certain degree, which helps for people like me, like even with Bitcoin mining, you know, like I pointed things like, hey, go look what KPMG is saying and look what Fidelity is saying. And like, you can see people be like, oh, okay, it's not just guys on the internet that are talking about it. It's actually like institutions are now. So yeah, I'm very much for that hopium. And like I said, when BSVers are in shit, I'm happy. Thanks.
Hey, Walton, the namespace.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Just quickly.
Go ahead.
On that, the block, signing device. Yeah, mm-hmm. I also find it very weird that there's no screen because even with this is a seed signer. And yeah. I mean, you put it together yourself and it's got
a
screen.
I think Rindal's got a rock fetish, right? Because this guy made an inscription of a rock and then put it on an open dime inside a rock. And now he's designed a signing device that looks like a rock, dude. Like, you get help, man.
Yeah, man. Stop with the stones. Hey, actually, I'm sorry. The other piece that Walton, you were talking about the namespaces, right? Buying up, are those the runes? Is this runes?
Yeah, I think maybe it's for runes. I don't know. Like, I've been trying
to understand
how much attention should you pay to shit coins? Like, you're like, ugh. So you get really bored as well with it. Like, I'm just like, but when someone seems to like fuck shit up, I'm like, I'm quite pleased about that.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
At first, yeah, I read don't about quite the runes understand. Thing. Weird. Sorry,
it's weird. It's like it basically means
you can. It's like minting. I think you mint the shitcoin, but make it completely unspendable and unlike. It's like for $30, you burn a little bit of Bitcoin and make it so no one can create. Maybe it's the rune. I don't know. It's a type BRC20 token. I don't know. With weird. That particular name, essentially.
It's something that doesn't need to be there. It nobody in Bitcoin asked for this. Like, what? It doesn't do anything.
But that's what Casey does. That's what he did. He likes to make these shitcoiny things, you know? So, I mean, what the hell? You know, like, why not? Yeah. All right, fine. Hey, look, you know, this is the thing about an open ledger. This is the thing about an open protocol, right? Like, we get to bitch about this stuff. Can't stop people from making it. Right? Like to a certain extent, can't stop them from making it. You can't stop them from petitioning for it. Well, that they, by the same token, they cannot, no pun intended, they cannot tell us not to, you know, push back on it and call out the bullshit. So,
and call them shitcoiners.
You know? Oh gosh.
No, but in all seriousness, I mean, it's the same thing with when you get people on Twitter that are telling guys what they should do with their Bitcoin, how you should earn your Bitcoin. And I'm like, bro, if whatever you're going to do is not going to affect my Bitcoin. So go forth. If you want to day trade your Bitcoin, please go forth. I'm going to buy it anyway. But I mean, like, I'm not going to be able to stop you and I shouldn't be able to stop you. If you want to flush your Bitcoin private keys down the toilet, go ahead. Go ahead, bro. Like, donate to the rest of us.
Exactly. And this is why it's the money of enemies, right? You may not agree with the other person that holds Bitcoin, but that doesn't matter. This is the beauty of an open network and of open systems. All right, guys, that wraps up the hopium and it wraps up this week's episode of Pleb Underground. But before we go, Oaken, how can people find you?
Okay, so I'm actually Oaken_17 on most social networks, but basically that's just on Twitter and on Instagram. You can find me on Noster. I'm sorry, my NPub is too big to say like right now.
No, we'll put it in the show notes.
But it's also just Oaken at plebnet.com, I believe. Yeah, something like that. But yeah, I'll give it to you on for the show notes. But that's where you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm of course under my real name, Nikolai Shongarero. And then always Easy Sats. Just look for Easy Sats as one word. I'm also there. That's also on the social network, so you'll find us.
Absolutely awesome, man. We will add that to the show notes. And guys, that does it for us. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Help us grow the channel. Help us spread the Bitcoin gospel, right, from the pleb perspective. And don't forget to check us out on our audio-only platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. If you want to stream a sats, check us out on Fountain.fm. You could stream a sats through Breeze. Walton, how do we end this one?
Fuck shit coins.
That's right, everyone. Fuck shit coins. Catch you next week.
Cheers. More toxic than the most toxic Bitcoin maxi ever.